what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, he is almost as excited about 311 Day this week as I am, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, you got your live stream tickets?
Eddie, I cannot wait. You know how much I love 311. I see that you're wearing a 311 shirt right now. I cannot wait for them to play Down and Beautiful Disaster and Amber. And then they'll probably play Down again. And then they'll play Beautiful Disaster again. I just love it. I'm very excited for it, Eddie. I know this is a special week for you, a special moment when you have... How do you decide which 311 shirt you're going to wear on a day like this?
Actually, on a day like this, when I'm not doing anything, I just pick the least pretty one.
Will you wear multiple shirts through the day? I mean, I'm going to wear my Dodgers 311 shirt. I mean, obviously, I have to.
Yeah, Thursday, of course, but yeah. Well, you know, Jordan, it's funny because you mentioned Beautiful Disaster. Thursday, they're playing the entire Transistor album.
Oh, okay.
Which included Beautiful Disaster.
I'm sure, yes.
So that's their entire double album that they're playing on Thursday night.
Well, that's exciting, Eddie. That's a big moment. Well, guys, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. You can find Eddie. He said it already. Eddie Experience 1E in the middle. Guys, there was a ton of fights. There's a ton of stuff going on, Eddie. What's new? Did you get your second shot yet of the vaccine?
Not yet. I'm getting my second shot at the end of next week.
Okay, so you've got it scheduled.
I cannot tell you how excited I am.
Yeah, I mean, you almost got a little bit more exciting when we thought that maybe, just maybe, you might be going to a UFC fight, which we'll talk about later. But you think about that. We're going to be able to hang out again. We're going to be able to see each other. Eddie, I can't wait.
I might give you a hug, Jordan.
Eddie, I'd give you a hug right now. I'll tell you that right now. No mask.
Hey.
Hug right now, I'd give you.
Hey, with one shot, I'm about, 80%? That's about 80% effective with the first shot, so I'm pretty in the clear.
Well, that's good. Eddie, I had a good weekend. I had my family in town. So I had my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. I had a brother-in-law on...
Wait. So you had your wife's family in town.
My wife's family. It was my wife's family in town. And they spent the weekend. But good thing, my brother-in-law, he is a fight fan, right? So he wanted to definitely watch the fights this weekend. My father-in-law, I took him to the fights as well. I got my brother-in-law a thing of Dustin Poirier's hot sauce as well. But let me tell you about our eating experience, all right? Because when you come to Texas, you got to eat, right? And there's so many good things that you can eat. So they love coming to Texas because they love, you know, taking advantage of the good food. They live in Las Vegas, which there's good food in Las Vegas, but let's be honest, it's Texas. And
it's mostly at the casinos. Come on, we know.
So we ate, I think they got here on Thursday night. Friday, started with Round Rock Donuts. Because you can't go wrong with Round Rock Donuts. Then they had for lunch Mighty Fine. Then for dinner, Papacitos. It's a great place for fajitas. It's funny, they said, what kind of fajitas I guess? Don't waste your time with the chicken. Let's be honest. If you're going to Papacitos, you don't get chicken at Papacitos. You just get steak. Don't come at me and waste my time with that chicken. I'm not even doing mix. I'm doing straight steak. Maybe a little bit of those shrimp on the sides that are wrapped in bacon. And then on Saturday, we woke up early so we could go to the Waco Zoo, okay?
Wait. You woke up early for the Waco Zoo?
Waco Zoo.
That is a sentence that never in the history of mankind has been uttered.
We had to get home for a soccer game, all right? So we got things going on, Eddie. So then, on the way there, like you do, we stop at Buc-ee's. Get a kolache, get some tacos. Let's see. I even got a little container of cheese and pretzels and sausage because I love it.
Nice. Let me tell you, they got these little sausage biscuit things.
Ooh.
Where it's actually wrapped in a biscuit.
Yeah.
It's a great jalapeno thing. Oh, they're great.
My brother-in-law
on the spicy crackers.
Had a brisket taco, which he thought was just amazing. For lunch, you know, why not finish your breakfast tacos with some more tacos? We went to Torchy's right there in Waco. Dinner.
We gave them a Torchy's.
Yeah. Dinner.
We're too nice.
We went to Hop Dottie. And then post-dinner, I ate wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. for the fight.
Post-dinner?
Yeah, post-dinner with Buffalo Wild Wings. And then on Sunday, they went and picked up some Rudy's as well. So that was the weekend of food, Eddie.
What you're telling me is you're going to be doing a lot of running this week.
Gosh, you know, I need to. I need to be doing some running. My problem is I'm coaching water polo in the mornings right now and at Cedar Park High School, and I don't have time. I don't have time to run, and so it makes it difficult. But I need to. And then I had, you know, we washed it all down with a little bit of Bluebell ice cream. I think they got this new, like, cookies and cream, like, cone, cookies and cream cone Bluebell. And it's fantastic. So, guys, if you're not hungry.
I saw that at HEB, yeah. And I had to stop myself from buying it.
We bought it, right? We always take advantage of new flavors. So, guys, if you were hungry, I'm sure you're hungry now. But Texas, come to Texas. We got some great food right here. Eddie, can you match? What did you do? Did you do anything as fun as that, as all the places that I ate over the weekend?
I did not. I honestly can't really remember what happened this weekend. I know I finally slept in. Last week was pretty busy for me. I think Friday was the first time someone didn't call me while I was either in bed or brushing my teeth. And after that, I just vegged out. I took this weekend to myself to relax. And then Sunday, I watched AEW Revolution.
Okay.
A little bit of an exploding barbed wire match. That's interesting. And I fell asleep in the middle of the match.
Okay. Well, did you watch it at Stu's house or was that at your house?
No, I was at home.
That would have been weird if you fell asleep at Super Bowl Stu's house. So,
it would be.
Yeah.
A little strange.
Well, guys, the reason we're here, right? We are going to talk UFC 259. Enough about food.
Sorry,
UFC
Stu.
UFC 259. Like I mentioned, I was at Buffalo Wild Wings. They had that new truffalo flavor. Pretty good. I like it. So, Buffalo Wild Wings, UFC 259. Jan Błachowicz. I got to get this right. Jan Błachowicz. Sometimes I just get it wrong. He defeats Israel Adesanya to maintain and to retain the UFC light heavyweight championship. Now, this was Israel Adesanya trying to make greatness, right? Trying to follow the footsteps of other lighter fighters moving up. And all five fighters who had actually done this before, they actually moved up in weight. You had Amanda Nunes. She moved up to 145 pounds. Henry Cejudo moved up to 135 pounds. Conor McGregor moved up to 155 pounds. Daniel Cormier moved up to 225 pounds to heavyweight.
65.
What's that?
265.
Well, yes, 265, you're right. I was thinking it's cruiserweight. He could have gone for cruiserweight as well. So I guess there's those four fighters. Every time they had moved up in weight, Israel Adesanya was trying to move up those 20 pounds and fight. But he did it. He fought really kind of as a middleweight, right? He came in at 199 pounds. He probably weighed right there for the fight. And you could really tell there was a difference in just the weight of Jan Błachowicz, who probably came in at 220 pounds during the fight.
Yeah, and it's funny, even taking away DC moving up to heavyweight, Izzy was making the biggest jump in that 20 pounds from 185 to 205 because DC was a natural heavyweight who was cutting down so he didn't have to fight his friend. So Izzy was actually the one making the biggest jump in weight to try and achieve this kind of greatness. And well, there's weight classes for a reason.
There are weight classes for a reason. Well, the fight was close. And Eddie, I wouldn't say that 10 out of 10 times I would think Jan Błachowicz would defeat Israel Adesanya. But he did it that night, right? The fight was close. And as much as like the rounds early on was, you know, Jan was clearly baiting on the feints that come from Israel. And each were throwing. It wasn't a ton of action. It wasn't the most exciting fight. But it was very close, right? And so it wasn't until those fourth and fifth rounds, which I thought were, obviously, we both thought, very clear, right? He takes him down in the center of the octagon. Israel actually did a very good job of defending the takedown when it was up against the fence. It was when it was right in the middle of the cage that Jan Błachowicz had a better chance of taking him down, and he was able to keep him there. You know, he just couldn't get that weight off of him, and that's what really sealed it. Now, we don't need to debate, is it a 10-8? Is it a 10-9? Because it doesn't matter, right? The right person won the fight on Saturday night. I don't agree with the scores, how they had it, but I do agree 100% that Jan was the winner.
And you know, it's funny because, well, first off, the size difference really showed itself in those takedowns in the middle of the cage, because up against the cage is more about balance, you know, and kind of just the power in your legs to kind of stay upright. But when someone bigger than you is driving through your guts to take you down, that size difference makes a big difference there.
I do.
But also, if you're listening to Joe Rogan, which I don't know, you probably couldn't hear as well at Buffalo Wild Wings, but if you're listening to him, you heard a completely different fight than what you saw. Like, I saw Blachowicz winning 1 and 2. Not by much, mind you. They were really close. But then when you look at the punch stats, you know, he clearly outstruck Izzy. But if you're listening to Joe Rogan, you think, oh, Blachowicz is getting run out of the cage. And then they were so shocked when the scores come back. I'm like, yeah, I can completely see 4-1. 3-2 might make more sense to most people, but I can see 4-1.
Yeah.
Now, the 10-8s, forget those guys.
Yeah, I saw it going 2-2. I had it Israel 1 and 3, and I had Jan 2 and 4. But I think you can go either way. I'm not going to sit here. Yeah,
another case for open scoring.
Yeah, and actually, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you've got to give credit to Jan Blachowicz, right? When he joined the UFC back in 2014, he defeated Alir Latifi. Then he lost to Jimmy Manoa and Corey Anderson. He defeated Igor Pokrajic, then lost to Alexander Gustafsson, and was almost cut. And this is like the worst. This is like the low of the lows, Eddie. He was almost cut when he lost to the barista Patrick Cummins, right? That was 2017. That wasn't that long ago. They had to like petition for him to keep his job. After that, this is probably when he finds the hangman's noose, let's be honest. So then he goes and wins 9 of the next 10 fights, right? His only loss was Thiago Santos. That was back in February 2018. So again, you're not sure, like, does this guy have enough to make it? What do you think really changed for him, right? Like, how did he do this? So this was a guy that, you know, lost 4 of his first 6 fights in the UFC. We never thought that he would be a champion based on, like, those performances, losing to the barista.
Well, from what I can tell, he's just matured. He became more patient. You know, instead of trying to have a slugfest, he decided to get a little technical and have an actual martial arts contest. And yeah, he's got kind of a weird striking style, but it's kind of his own thing, and he made it work for him. But instead of just like rushing out there, you know, just like bombarding people to try and get the knockout, he kind of let the fight come to him. And just like kind of slow down. It's like a quarterback entering his 5th or 6th year as opposed to a rookie. You know, everyone talks about the gunslinger mentality. But what you really want is that kind of a same Ryan Fitzgerald type who's seen it all and the game slows down for him. And I think that's what happened with Blachowicz.
Well, you have to give him credit, right? And next up, you got to think, right, that it's got to be Glover Teixeira. He was there. He was actually the backup fighter on Saturday night. You would think that Israel Adesanya will go back to middleweight. We've got 3 fights coming up in the next month. Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland on March 20th. Darren Till versus Marvin Vettori on April 10th. And then Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa on April 17th. That's 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 9. So really, you could get a good win from any of these guys. And, you know, we could identify the next contender for Israel Adesanya at middleweight.
Yeah, I really want to see Till. See what he can do at this level. And we saw how he was down in welterweight, and he worked himself up to a championship contest, down 15 pounds. So at his more natural weight, I think he can really be a force to be reckoned with. Yeah. But Robert Whittaker waiting in the wings, now that he's seen what you can do with wrestling against Izzy, well, what did I yell about? I just like screamed my head off about Robert Whittaker when they fought.
So
That he worked himself onto the Australian national wrestling team, but never wrestled.
Well, Eddie, I think this brings us to a good segue. I heard you, Eddie, on talking to Chad last week. I was on a text thread with you this week talking about Israel Adesanya. So, Eddie, we haven't done this in a while. I think it's time we bring back 2 questions.
Eddie. I got 2 questions for you, Eddie.
All right, I've got 2 questions for you, Eddie.
It's almost like I'm in Young Rock.
The first question, Eddie, why do you hate Israel Adesanya?
I don't hate Israel Adesanya, though it's no secret that I don't enjoy most of the trash talk, and he's got a special brand of trash talk. He gets a little weird with it, too. But no, it annoyed me, and it still annoys me, that he waited till John Jones vacated the title and made the firm commitment to move to heavyweight before he took this chance. And even, I think Ariel Helwani said, oh, he saw an opening against Jan, and that's why he stepped up to go for greatness.
So
saw an opening.
So back
that part bugs me. So you talk trash for 2 years, take the fight.
So you're mad that Israel Adesanya, who's only been in the UFC for 3 years, won the title, wanted to defend it multiple times. He actually said back in October 2019, he had already won the interim middleweight championship. He said, I want to defend it 3 times. And then I want to move up and fight John Jones in 2021. So what did he do? He won the interim title. He unified it. He defended it three times. And then he moved up to middleweight. Excuse me. He moved up to light heavyweight in 2021. Izzy did exactly what he said he was going to do.
If he was going to stick to that timeline, there was no need for all the... I don't mind him moving up. And you know I'm a fan of people like owning their weight class. So I'd prefer him to defend the final title 7-8 times, you know? But if you're going to talk all that trash, don't wait until the guy that you're talking about vacates the title before you move up.
But it was... He always said, I'm going to move up in 2021. And who left in 2021? John Jones. John Jones is the one who left. Now, Eddie, I actually think I figured it out. I know why you don't like Israel Adesanya. And I'm surprised because Israel Adesanya came out and said he's up for open scoring, which I know you love. You love open scoring, and Israel Adesanya, all about it.
I'm just going to let you talk.
You did not think. I don't know. You might have forgotten that people get old. And you never thought that Anderson Silva would lose the middleweight title. So you hate every other middleweight champion. Chris Weidman, you didn't like him. You don't like Israel Adesanya because these are guys that took the crown of Anderson Silva. So that's what I think. But Eddie... I've got another question
for you.
You
were crazy.
You mentioned that you didn't like that he called out John Jones.
No. I didn't say I didn't like that he called him out. I said I don't like that you constantly talk trash to him for 2 years, and then you never end up taking the fight. Well, and then you wait till someone you think is beatable holds the belt, and then you move up. Don't think he would have moved up if Dominic Reyes held the belt. I think he thought Jan was easily beatable, and that's why he took the fight.
All right, so after all of John Jones' indiscretions... Why are you still a stand for John Jones, Eddie Cross?
If I'm a stand for anyone, it'd still be Anderson Silva. Now, if you ask me that question about him, that'd be a legitimate question.
Hit and runs, car accidents with lady friends, DUIs, the pulsing picograms. In Eddie's eyes, John Jones can do no wrong. You are a John Jones stan till the end. But I want to read this quote from 2013.
You know that's not true.
2013, John Jones. 2013. I don't know if you know what year it is. It's 2021, Eddie. I think that's going to happen in the next 2 years. I'll go up to heavyweight permanently. He was calling out Cain Velasquez at the time. He talked about moving up to heavyweight in 2015. He called out Brock Lesnar at heavyweight in 2017. In 2019, he called him out again, talking about Cain Velasquez. Your confidence is going to have to be on lock in order to beat me, my guy. You can't be talking about, I think I can. I feed off picograms of self-doubt, and I can smell it from miles away. My heavyweight days are inevitable. This is after he did not want to fight Dominic Reyes. John Jones has been doing the same thing. He's been saying, I want to move to heavyweight. He's been talking trash about moving to heavyweight. That all
I thought you said 2013.
For years. 2013, 2015, 2017, 2019. He's been talking about moving to heavyweight almost a good part of a decade and talking trash and still doesn't. Now it's the most shallow division in the UFC. This is when he decides to move up.
Shallow?
Yes, shallow. Name the top 10.
His name is like three. You know, Stipe, Ngannou, Derek Lewis.
Okay, keep going.
Volkanovski. Volkov. That's enough. Yeah.
You're right. So you mentioned four guys. So yeah,
I'm not going to name the whole top 10. That's right. Ridiculous.
There's a very good top four, but it's very shallow after that.
What's the top four of light heavyweight?
Pretty shallow too, but you can, right? Yeah. It's a shallow division.
I mean,
but light heavyweight.
You've got the greatest heavyweight champion ever at the top, which counts for, he should count for like six.
You're right. No, I know, but he's getting older, right?
Two of the heaviest hitters in history, in Ngannou and Lewis.
All these dudes that are just getting older and older. They were all there years ago. John Jones.
They're all getting older.
John Jones moving up when he finds it easier to get there, when these guys have aged out. The same argument you can make for Israel Adesanya, John Jones, you can make it for him as well. So,
well, John Jones didn't have a 3-year Twitter battle against any of those heavyweights either.
No, just multiple times he called him out. All right, let's jump to Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. We're going to go way long because
I've got
a ton to talk about with Peter Yan in a little bit. But Amanda Nunes, she blitzed Megan Anderson. We don't even need to talk about it. The big question is, what do you do next with Amanda Nunes?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I was on the afternoon show with Chad on Thursday, and I tried to make a case for Megan Anderson, and I think I made it sound decent, like she had a chance. Like, if she, you know, she's 6 feet tall. If she could, like, stay on the outside, maybe she could outpoint her. And what do I yell about with tall fighters? Not fighting tall. What happens? She lets the much shorter Amanda Nunes come in and deck her to the point where she's literally got Tweety Birds circling her head. And this fight's over in 2 minutes to the point where even Amanda's baby dissed her. Did you see that?
mean, no, I didn't. So the big question is, what do you do with Amanda Nunes next, right? She's not going to fight at featherweight. She's already defeated Felicia Spencer, who's fighting Danielle Wolfe, who's 1-0. That fight's not going to happen.
There's still some debate as to whether or not there's even going to be a featherweight division.
So you think about, what could Amanda do at bantamweight? There's really no one there for her either. Juliana Pena, who was supposed to fight Holly Holm, she was on a one-fight win streak. That fight got canceled. She has been calling out she's been calling on Amanda Nunes for a while. Amanda Nunes still doesn't seem that excited about her. She's ranked sixth in the division. But, you know, she has a beef, so maybe they could do that. But there's really only one person. What's that? Go ahead.
I'm going to say, I know what you're going to say. But before you do that, I've got three people I want to see her face. Number one is Juliana Pena. And then I want rematches with Holm and Durandamy, because I think they actually showed that. Well, I don't think we saw the full-on Holly Holm, because we know how she can be on her feet. And Durandamy was scoring big time against Nunes on the feet until she just got taken down.
Why do you not Holly Holm or Jermaine Durandamy? Why do you want to hit them hurt?
I want to give people a chance. The same reason I wanted to give Jan a chance for the light heavyweight title when you didn't want him to be able to fight for the title.
Yeah, I mean, John Jones was just a little nervous, and he decided he didn't want to fight Jan, so that makes sense.
Well,
so,
you know, see? So, right. Yeah, so maybe Amanda won't fight these people. I don't know.
So maybe,
but, yeah,
Juliana,
I
want to
see
Pena,
those rematches.
Maybe Juliana Pena, but there's someone else out there, and that's the flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko. She's 0-2 against Nunes, but their last fight was really close. It actually was a split decision win for Nunes, but it could have gone anyway, right? So
I want to see her fight people she hasn't beaten twice already. She's only beaten some of them once.
Yeah, well, the most competitive fight that she's had has been with Valentina Shevchenko. I want to see competitive fights. So,
yeah, it was competitive, but she won twice. What's her incentive for taking that fight? You're going to have to pay her out the butt.
Okay, great. I don't care. It's not my money.
Well, you don't care. Does Dana want to pay it?
Well, I just think there's no other really good fights for Amanda Nunes at the division, that she's not just going to stomp through people. All right, Eddie.
Well, like I said, they can give her three more at bantamweight, and we'll see what happens. That could take another couple years.
Eddie, let's talk. You have been calling this for years, probably not the way it ended. And I can't even imagine you really feel he's the better fighter. I mean, it's really hard to say that Aljamain Sterling is the undisputed champion. Aljamain Sterling is the bantamweight champion of the
belt
UFC.
Holder. He's the belt holder. Let's put it that way.
I wonder if next time when they do the rematch, is Bruce Buffer going to announce him as the undisputed UFC bantamweight champion? I can't imagine you could.
He's going to have to. I think that's what you do. There's no interim.
It could be a little disputed. I mean,
it's very disputed.
When you wake up and you find out you're the champion.
Well, it's disputed that he's the best bantamweight, but he is the one with the belt, so I guess. I wouldn't say it, but I think Bruce will probably say it.
All right, so Aljamain Sterling, he comes out guns blazing, really trying to stop Petr Yan. And we thought that if there was a chance that he could do it, it'd have to be done early, because Petr Yan would be able to be durable. He would get stronger as the fight went on. What we didn't think is that as he got stronger, he would lose his senses and hit Aljamain Sterling with an illegal knee. Jan did get stronger as the fight went on. He was actually a perfect 7-for-7 in takedowns. Aljamain was 1-for-17 in takedowns. And it was really impressive to see Piotr just really dump Aljamain on his head just over and over again with those takedowns.
He is the master of trips. Those were beautiful.
It really was. So in the fourth round, Piotr was winning the round, and he landed a knee to the side of the head on Aljamain Sterling when his knee was obviously clearly dead. I'm sure you've seen this by now. There's debate about, you know, what the corner was saying. One said punch only. The other said kick. We're not exactly sure, but the ref had just said that, hey, he's a downed opponent. So obviously the shot is flush. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Aljamain
goes
straight
down, really good
kind
knee.
Of writhing back and forth. And then finally the decision was made that he couldn't continue. So there's been lots of said that maybe Aljamain was milking the injury. He was milking how bad he was hurt. Eddie, what do you think?
The only thing that upsets me, aside from the DQ, is the fact that the referee didn't just make the call at the beginning. You see it's an illegal strike. You see it's a bad one. You don't sit there and let the guy wiggle on the ground and then go, can you get up? Even if he can get up, he's not going to be the same. You know, you don't want to put someone through that because you're there for their well-being. You know, you don't just like let him figure it out for himself. It's your job. Make the call.
Yeah, I'm actually glad.
It shouldn't be left to the fighters.
I'm really glad, right, that Aljo did not get back in there and fight. That would have been a terrible look had him just gone in and then just got knocked out, right? That would have been terrible.
Yeah, I was already telling my friends that he was going to get knocked out in the fifth.
Well, yeah.
So after that, he definitely would have been he'd been carried out on a stretcher.
So he wins the fight via DQ, and then he's given the belt. Eddie, I don't like this, right? I don't think that the belt should change hands on a DQ. Now, I don't think it's like the WWE where, you know, a DQ or a count out, the belt doesn't change hands. I 100% think that Piotr Jan should be stripped of the belt. I think you should lose it. Like he 100% should not have the belt walking out of there. But just to
give it. Yeah, they should treat it like the champ missing weight.
Yeah, but to give it to the guy who, I mean, was losing that fight and didn't look great the last couple rounds, and it was clearly going one way, I just don't love it, right? It's not a great look.
It's not a good look or a good taste in the mouth of anyone. I mean, at least for Aljamain, at least he'll get more money for his next fight as the champion coming in, but that's the only good for anybody. It doesn't look good for the UFC. It doesn't look good for Aljo, because how you can't even celebrate the fact that you have the belt and you're going to get more money, because that looks bad. And we've already seen pictures of him like posing with the belt,
yeah,
and people are like trashing him. And for Jan, I mean, poor guy, just listening to his corner, I mean, someone's getting fired.
You wonder, like, Jan, it's interesting, right? Like, he kind of comes, originally, I thought he came off as sympathetic, right? Because he lost the belt, because he did that, and because he apologized the way he did. And I think that, and my father-in-law was like, hey, do you think that people will ever like him? Like, will people be mad at him? I said, well, I think, you know, people will feel like he paid his dues by losing the belt. But by him kind of going after Aljo over and over again online, maybe you might lose some of that goodwill from the fans. But I think at the end of the day, what I really think should happen, Aljamain just needs to go full heel, just say, yes, I was faking it. It's my belt. You're never going to get this belt back. You're never going to beat Piotr Jan. So you better milk it as much as you can to try to get a bigger pay-per-view piece.
Well, I got to say, I don't think Jan's going to lose much goodwill, because what you see now with Aljo talking about fighting Cejudo when he was already talking about running it back immediately, that's kind of going to, like you said, that's Aljo going full heel right there already. So I don't think anyone could get upset with Jan for being upset with Aljo for doing that.
Yeah. All right, just real quickly, Islam Makhachev, he dominated Drew Dober, called out Tony Ferguson. I would love to see that fight, right?
I would put down $5 right now.
Alexander Rakic got a win. He got a brown belt after that. He didn't actually do any jiu-jitsu in the fight, but still got a brown belt. I'm not sure how that works.
He did as much jiu-jitsu Saturday as I did.
Yeah, and then finally, Dominic Cruz defeated Casey Kenney, getting his first win since he defeated Uriah Faber back at UFC 199 in 2016. He had losses to Cody Garbrandt and Henry Cejudo.
Okay, wait, Jordan. Before we move on, I want you to explain this Dominic Cruz Monster Energy thing, because it makes no sense to me.
All right, so Dominic Cruz has been repped by a Monster Energy drink for quite a bit, right? So there's a guy there at Monster Energy who's in charge of like combat sports sponsorships, named Hans Mollenkamp. And Dominic, he challenged him to a fight. He said, let's do a fight for charity. You say you're a fighter. It sounds like...
So he's out here starting street fights over Instagram? That's sure. Some high school stuff.
It sounds like this guy, Hans, is like forcing fighters, allegedly, to take pictures with him, to pump up his brand, to pump up his Instagram. He's, you know, Dana White's got into it before with him about a year and a half ago. And he says, like, hey, we're going to cut you if you don't do it. This is part of your monster contract to pump up me. And so he doesn't like that. He feels like he is being treated poorly there. So kind of interesting.
Is it part of the monster contract?
I don't think it is.
I know there's stuff in there about, you know, how you interact with the company online and on Instagram and stuff like that.
That's why he was very clear to say, this is not between Monster. I love Monster. I've been sponsored by them for years. This is between me and Hans Mollenkamp. So,
okay,
Eddie. Hey, real quickly, tell us about Clarissa Shields before we go.
Oh man, Friday night on Fight TV, Clarissa Shields became the first boxer ever to become undisputed in two different weight classes. She appointed what's her name, Marie-Eve Dicari. I can't say it. For all the junior middleweight gold. I mean, she was in her hometown of Flint, Michigan. They're only doing two minute rounds, which is let me say, it makes the fight fly by. It really does. But it wasn't close at all. I mean, you look at the punch stats, and it's like Clarissa may as well have been fighting against a wall.
All right, well, two quotes, Eddie. And it's tough to say, but yeah. Two quotes fought this weekend, guys.
Oh, yeah.
That was UFC 259. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh.
What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well.
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. I'm Eddie, that's Jordan. And Jordan, I don't want to spend much time on this, but when is Saturday Night Live coming back?
I think it comes back in a couple weeks, with end of March, maybe with Maya Rudolph, I believe.
Oh, that's right. I did hear her name. Good to know. Now, here's a question that everyone wants to know, Jordan. Is the UFC coming to Texas? What's up with that?
Eddie, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't think it's going to happen. But the last week after Governor Abbott, he lifted the statewide mask mandate, Dana White started making phone calls to arenas and cities trying to bring either UFC 260, two title fights on that fight, or UFC 261, two title fights on that fight, but do it in Texas at 100% capacity in an arena with fans. He mentioned that Dallas originally, they said no, right? It wasn't going to happen. They were going to still reach out to Houston. Who owns the Houston Rockets, Eddie? Tillman Fertitta.
The other Fertitta, yeah.
Like a cousin of the Fertitta. I don't know how close they are. But he said that after the fight on Saturday night, Dana mentioned that although the governor says Texas is open, mayors of these cities do not want to bring an event here. So, Eddie, even though you have your vaccine and you'll have your second shot, it is unlikely that you're going to be able to go because the UFC will not be coming. But why don't they come to Cedar Park? I can see the Cedar Park mayor saying yes. Let's make it happen, Corbin Van Arsdale. You see that? Me calling out the mayor? Like, I know the mayor on the top of my head. You like that, Eddie? Corbin Van Arsdale.
Why am I not surprised call that the mayor of Cedar Park is named Corbin Van Arsdale?
Call the UFC. Let's make it happen.
That's such a Cedar Park name, too.
Golly, so Cedar Park.
I mean, I was like, hey, call up San Antonio. They might do it, but yeah. The bigger cities, no. Maybe the Valley, maybe no. I don't know. Yeah, it's good that UFC 260, the super spreader, won't be coming to town because that's just bad publicity for everyone. Although I want to see it, but I will make do. Now, Jordan, Saturday night on Sports Nation, Henry Cejudo, is he still around? He said he may be returning. Did he ever really leave? What's up with that?
Yeah, that's a real question, Eddie. Did Henry Cejudo ever leave? It feels like he didn't, right? Facing off with Aljamain Sterling, tweeting after like every single fight about how he wants to fight them and that they will all bow to the knee of Triple C. Henry Cejudo, he really kind of threw a throwaway comment at the end of the interview, and he said Triple C is coming back, so much so that like the people that interviewed him were like, wait a minute. Did he just say he's coming back? Like, what is happening here? So he's the former 125 and former 135-pound champion. He vacated both belts, but we really thought it was about the money. We figured that he was just trying to get a better contract and that he really does want to come back to he really wants to come back to fight. He has kept himself in the public eye, Eddie, so I wouldn't be surprised. And you know, he's still called out Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling. Does that excite you to think that Henry Cejudo could be coming back?
Not really. I mean, I'd like to see him fight, but it doesn't excite me. I'm also surprised that he somehow didn't work his way onto The Bachelor.
I think he's got a girlfriend, I heard, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Did you see that picture with Colby Covington and Pollyanna Viana? And like, it looks like they're together. But then it's like people ask.
Who's she?
So she's a fighter.
Oh, yeah, the fighter, yeah.
So there's a picture with them like together sitting on the map, and like he's got her arm around her. Really nice picture of Colby. And people ask, oh, my gosh, is this your girlfriend? To which Pollyanna quickly says, no, we're just friends. I've got a boyfriend. So Colby Covington got friend-zoned by Pollyanna there.
Like, he probably got someone to snap that picture at just the right moment, just so he could post that, and she quickly denounced it.
No, she said, we're friends.
It's like, no. Colby, buddy, been there. I'd like to say I'm sorry for you, but I'm not really.
Still there, Eddie. Yeah. He's still there in the friend zone with most people.
No, we're not friends. All right, Jordan. Speaking of not friends, Jake Paul and Ben Askren, their fight's still on. What's up with that?
Yeah, the fight's still on, and we actually have details now. So the fight will take place April 17th at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. There's going to be no tickets for sale, but they did say there's going to be some
the rotating B-hole.
Yeah. Limited capacity of fans there. The fight's going to be available for $49.99, Eddie, which if you think about it, that's the same price that you paid for Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones, which had Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson in the co-main event. Frank Mir is going to box against Antonio Tarver in the co-main event. Tarver's 52 years old, last fought in 2015. He's 31-6. The rest of the fight card will be announced soon. Ben Askren was started to work with Freddie Roach in prep for this fight.
$50? No way, man. I'm going to have to like find some friends dumb enough to go in on that because there's no way I'm paying $50 for Ben Askren and Jake Paul. You know who I'd rather see is Dan Hardy. He was talking about a comeback, but he's no longer with the UFC. What's up with that?
Yeah, so we actually talked about that last week, that he was looking for a fight. It's not that he's no longer with the UFC. He's still a fighter under contract, but he's actually no longer has a broadcast deal with them. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer put out a report. It was later confirmed by Dan Hardy that he is no longer with the UFC in a commentating role. But it sounds like there was a couple incidents on Fight Island. Now, we saw that one where he had an incident with Herb Dean. Dan Hardy, he shouted at Herb Dean to stop the fight when Jai Herbert was knocked out by Francisco Trinaldo. Afterwards, these guys got into a verbal exchange that you saw online. Apparently, Dana White was very upset about it and like said, look, we do not talk to refs during fights like that. It sounds like there was also another incident as well. Sounds like he's still under fighter contract and still wants to fight. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see Dan Hardy fight now. But I will miss his analysis. He's great at what he does.
Yeah, well, as those dulcet British tones. But yeah, it sounds like he's still got some fight in him. So let's get it out in the cage.
Yeah.
But moving from the cage to the ring, ONE Championship is coming to TNT next month. What's up with that?
Yeah, ONE FC making its North American debut on TV. It's going to be on TNT starting at April 7th. You've got Demetrius Johnson fighting Adriana Moraes for the ONE Flyweight Championship. Eddie Alvarez faces Yuri Lapikas in the co-main event. ONE on TNT 2, it's the next week on April 14th. Christian Lee is defending the ONE Lightweight Championship against Timofey Nastyukin. Nastyukin is the one that defeated Eddie Alvarez back in March 2019. That was Alvarez's ONE FC debut. ONE on TNT 3 is the 21st. But, Eddie, our boy Sage Northcutt, Super Sage, returning to the ring to face legend Shinya Aoki. That will be on you on ONE on TNT 4 on April 28th. Eddie, so April is going to be ONE on TNT month. I'm excited for it. Eddie, that is what's up with that. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey, 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 hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie, we've got some fights again this week. After a long-awaited time away, Leon Rocky Edwards makes his return to fight Bilal Muhammad in the main event of UFC, what is this, Las Vegas 21? Is that where we are right now?
Vegas 21? Yeah, I think that sounds right, but you better say Muhammad's name correctly.
Well, you better remember the name. Right?
That's right.
So, Eddie, remember, this is crazy, right? So, Leon Edwards, almost a year to the date, he was taken off that card. It was March 20th, a year ago, right? He was taken off the card at an event against, was he fighting Tyron Woodley? It was supposed to be in England. And this is crazy that we are a year now of being at home, of not being around people, of just, this is crazy.
And I know this is going to sound weird, but I remember this because last year, 311 Day in Vegas, the three-day festival was like the last big music festival before everything shut down. So that was the 11th, 12th, and 13th. After that, there was nothing. And we're on that week now.
Well, Eddie, and it
is freaky. I find myself thinking that things that happened in 19 happened last year. And I'm like, oh yeah, I was in Corpus last October. No, that was 2019. I've lost a whole year.
Speaking of 311 Day, Eddie, why do I always see you post these videos on Facebook of this 311 cruise, and I can't find you in any of them? I've watched so many dumb videos from this cruise on the 311, and I see like Nick Hexum doing this, and I'm like, oh, where's Eddie? I don't see you in any of these videos, and maybe I feel like you weren't actually there. This is just a big lie.
Dude, I don't do selfies. I'm on radio. I'm not on TV. I got a face for radio, and I don't like being in front of the camera. I used to be a photographer. I like being behind the camera. And yeah, people were posting like other like reposting videos and stuff because it was 2 years ago. So I went and like saved them all to a list, not realizing that everything that I did was public. So everyone's timelines were being filled with all these videos that I was saving to a list. So then I went and had to go and shut my Facebook down and privatize everything again. And then put it back. So I didn't like load everyone's Facebook feed with my stuff.
Didn't love it, right?
I hate Facebook.
Didn't love it. Eddie, so we've got Leon Rocky Edwards.
Great cruise, though.
The last time he fought, we were there, Eddie. We were watching this fight happen. He fought Rafael Dos Anjos in San Antonio, July 2019. One of our best shows.
Wow.
On the way
home. That's when Greg Hardy almost made you pee your pants.
That was very scary.
And then you tried to kill me on the drive home.
No, it was on the way there. You were a little bit more nervous. But the way there, the drive home was actually pretty good. We actually recorded a show on the way home, if you remember.
Yeah, that was a classic show. We should repost that.
He fights Bilal Muhammad. Muhammad just came off a win February 13th, UFC 258. So not that long ago, just about a month to the date of when that fight will take place, March 13th. And I actually really like this opportunity for Bilal Muhammad. I think he's catching Leon Edwards at a right time. Obviously, Rocky wants to get in there, wants to get back, and has a lot to prove. But I think that Bilal Muhammad, who has the same record, really, he's 18-3. Leon Edwards, also 18-3. He only has losses to Jeff Neal, Vicente Luque, Alan Jobon. He could actually surprise. I think he's a live underdog in this fight against Leon Edwards.
I would definitely say so. But more than anything, I just feel bad for Leon Edwards. Like, dude hasn't had a paycheck in a year from the UFC. And to get your first paycheck, you got to fight a dangerous opponent like Muhammad, who beating him doesn't do much for you rankings-wise. But like I said, it's actually really dangerous. Well, so this is a big risk for him, but he needs a paycheck, man.
The last fight was risky too, right? The risky was Khamzat Chimaev. And you wouldn't gain a lot from that, from fighting like really an undefeated guy. But it's going to be interesting. I'm actually looking forward to this fight. You've got Misha Cirkunov. He's coming off that win over Jimmy Crute. That was back in 2019. We haven't seen Misha Cirkunov since then. He's fighting Ryan Spann, who actually just lost to Johnny Walker. That's the co-main event. But then you got Dan 50K Ige. He was supposed to fight Ryan Hall on this fight. He came off a loss to Calvin Kattar over on Fight Island. Gavin Tucker, though, he's coming off three wins in a row. The last one, Billy Quarantillo, he defeated him via decision. Justin Janes back in August. And then Song Woo Chi back in 2019 in July. So I like that fight. Eddie, I know you're excited to see Angie Hill.
Dude, how many times has she been booked in the past month?
She's been trying to get fights. Around. She's trying to get fights with Tisha Torres. They were trying to make that fight happen. She was supposed to fight, Yoder back, a few weeks ago, and they had that issue with COVID, so that's why the fight got moved back here.
I think they even had her on last week's card too, didn't they? At first,
I don't think it was on that fight. I think it was supposed to be a few weeks ago. It was changed to this fight card. She's obviously coming off of two losses in a row at this point. So,
I remember she was supposed to fight on the same card as Bruce Leroy. Because there was a picture of them, one above the other.
Yeah.
Like they were like long-lost twins.
That's right. So, well, that'll be fun. So
but you know, I know who you're excited about, Jordan.
Tell me about Chocolatito. I love when you say that.
Oh, well, I was going to say you're excited about your boy, Eric Anders.
Obviously, Eric
Anders. Saturday night on DAZN, from Dallas, speaking of fights in Texas, Chocolatito Gonzalez, I just love saying that, takes on Juan Francisco Estrada for the second time. To unify the super flyweight titles, or junior bantamweight, depending on however you want to say it. Estrada's got the WBC, Chocolatito's got the WBA. It's the second time they fought. They met in 2012, with Chocolatito winning by a unanimous decision to retain the WBA junior flyweight title.
There we go. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Enjoy Stu and Justin, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Thanks so much for listening right here. Check us out on Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and we will see you next week.
And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.